But today we are looking at what appears to be a difficult passage, Matthew chapter 10, and going to read, I'm going to read probably from 32, maybe not all the way to up to perhaps the 39. So this is Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. These are incredibly challenging words. They would have been huge shock value to Jesus' listeners. I haven't come to bring peace, but a sword, to divide families. With what Jesus says elsewhere in the New Testament, and with what the Bible says elsewhere, you would think, no, surely this can't be right. Because the Bible tells us that we should divide families. What on earth does Jesus mean that he's come to set one against the other? Well, what he means is that what he's brought, he is the Saviour, he is the Messiah. The fact that he now comes is going to divide people. For the last 3 years, we have known what it was to be a divided nation. When they brought a referendum, they instantly divided us. Some people thought one thing and voted one way, some people thought something else and voted another way. And the same thing happened when Jesus came. Because Jesus came and he taught that the kingdom of God was coming. He taught that he was the Messiah. He healed. But because he was doing that, people went in different directions. Some people believed he was the Messiah and so responded to him in faith. Others rejected him as the Messiah and so turned against him. And you may well know in your own families that because you have believed in Jesus, other members of your family have turned against you. Or there is something of a gap, something of an understanding that's not quite there because you have a Christian faith and they don't. You have priorities that are slightly different from theirs. And there's a challenge, isn't there, when they say, come and do something with us on a Sunday morning. You want to do something with them, but you want to be worshipping the Lord on a Sunday. And you're immediately put in an awkward sort of position. This is what Jesus says when he says, I haven't come to bring peace. What he means is that as people respond to him, it's going to result in some sort of a division. Now, if we could go to the next slide, please, John. This story from this picture was told to the children at the Church of England Primary School in collective worship. Not last Thursday, but the Thursday before. Michael told you. And it's the story of, well, you can see, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, he met 10 men who had leprosy. What did the 10 men want, girls? They wanted to be healed by Jesus. How can you remember what he told them to do? Oh, well done. Brilliant. Go to the priest. That was a point at which I guess they could have thought, I have a choice now. I can go to the priest as I've been told, or I can say, can't you just touch me? Can't you just speak healing? Can't you just do something else? Or, oh, no, I don't think that's right. No, I've got a better plan for getting right. They chose. So, what did the men do, these 10 lepers? What did they do? Brilliant, Farida. Well, they went to the priest. They acted in faith. They went to the priest. And on the way, what happened? Well, all of them. Yeah, all 10 got healed. But Michael was telling you the story, the vicar, Michael, was telling you the story, and collective worship in the school at the moment's about the issue of thankfulness, because then that's not quite the end of the story. All 10 got healed. Can you finish the story for us? Well done, Victory. One came back to do what? Yes, well done. One comes back to say thank you. And Jesus' response to this man is to say, where are the other 9? Your faith has healed you. What was it they did that expressed faith in Jesus? Anyone know? What was it that they did that expressed faith in Jesus? They obeyed. That's right. They went and showed themselves to the priest. Only one said thank you, but all 10 were healed. And that's not a story that says to us that because one said thank you, he remained healed. And that the other 9, because they didn't say thank you, they weren't grateful, they suddenly got leprosy all over again. Jesus said it was their faith, it was their doing that got them healed. But one man's faith was even greater. They were so excited they'd been healed, but he realized at that point, wow, I have been healed. And he comes back, and he doesn't come back to say thank you. He comes back and he falls down and worships Jesus. That's a response of faith. Well done, girls. Brilliant remembering of the story. It's this response of faith. Now, the passage that goes with what BMS have suggested that we do today is not Matthew 10. It's actually Matthew 25. And if we could have the next slide, please, John. That verse comes towards the end of Matthew 25, where we get Matthew 25:35, Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to eat? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And he separates them according to what they have done. This is a strange thing. The idea that they should give to the hungry so they get separated onto the side of the sheep. Is Jesus now rewriting the gospel? Because I thought it was all about faith. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16 can't be wrong. For God so loved the world that whoever feeds the hungry, whoever gives a cup of water to a little one, whoever visits the sick, Jesus is not rewriting the gospel. It is all about our faith. And that's really the key thing today, because you see, it is faith in Jesus that makes us respond to the needs of the hungry and the poor and the sick and the lonely and the naked and those who need visiting in prison. It was faith that mattered. What God wants for us, what Jesus wants for us, is faith that causes action, not just the actions on their own. We cannot earn anything from God. Our salvation is a free gift. But his desire is that that gift that we have received and our faith in him causes us to put him first, to follow him. And that is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 10, the passage that we read. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. He says some incredibly radical words. It's really all or nothing. If we're disciples of Jesus, we've got to put him first. It goes on. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Those words are shocking, aren't they? Because some of you are sitting in here this morning with your father or mother. And many of you have got fathers and mothers still alive that you love. And you think, wow, God asks me to love him more than them. What he doesn't do is ask you to love him instead of loving them. He asks you to love him and to love them. But he asks you to put them first. Now that's a huge challenge. But that's the sort of thing, you know, sometimes when people obey the call of God, for Claire, it's meant going to Chad. Now, I don't know about Steve and Marilyn and what they think, but I suggest that probably they thought, oh, you know, that's great, but we're going to miss her. We'd rather she was still here. But God has called her to go there, and she's put God's call first. And I'm sure that that has not in any way lessened the love that she has for Steve and Marilyn, or they for her. God isn't saying, look, I don't want you to love your parents, I want you to just love me. He's saying, I want you to put me first. That's the actions of faith. What we do, it's not about what we earn. We can't earn his love. But in receiving his love, we go and love others. Harvest, in a sense, is all about him saying, look, I've loved you. I've provided for you. Now go and love others with the love I've given to you. Faith is tough. The song Raise a Hallelujah, in a sense, the guy was confessing that he struggled with unbelief. And there is a passage in Revelation, I can't remember, it's the one about the river of life. Does anybody know which chapter it is of Revelation? Or is it, no, it's Ezekiel, isn't it? Somewhere in Ezekiel. Anybody know? Anybody got a phone that they can get a quick look up on? Somewhere towards the end of Ezekiel, I think. Oh, here we go. Ezekiel 47. In Ezekiel 47, it says this: the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. He brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and he led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits, and he led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000, and he led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. And he asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" For most of us, the journey of faith is a journey, in a sense, into the river. When you swim, you take your feet off the bottom and you stop trusting your ability to walk. And as you go through the river of life, there will be times when it's incredibly deep and it's stormy and you can't see the way ahead. What do you need then? Not to be a better swimmer, but to have more faith. And sometimes God puts us in deeper water to grow in our faith. So we're going to sing a song, I guess, in response to Jesus says, "I'm going to divide people. Which way are you going to go? Faith, reject me. Believe me, reject me." And this is a song. This is a song that says, "Take me deeper. I want to go deeper. I want to give my love, my life for you."